What does it mean to be called by God or by Christ? Hello, welcome to The Good Word. I am Dave Thomas, Dean of the School of Theology. With me today are two colleagues, Larry Viverka and Daryl Bigger, both of them longtime colleagues in the School of Theology. Gentlemen, thank you for being here to talk today about what it means to be called.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dave.
As you read in the Gospels, you discover some interesting information about the matter of calling. And maybe I can set up our discussion by making the observation that in several places in the Gospel, like in John 12 and other places, we read of people who came to Jesus driven pretty much by their own curiosity. They had heard about him, they had been told about him, perhaps they had seen from a distance, and they came inquiring about him, in some cases wanting to attach themselves to Jesus and his work and his ministry. And in the ancient world, we find the gathering of disciples was a common thing amongst the Jews and amongst the Greeks. This happened. John the Baptist had a following of people. But there seems to be something distinctive about Jesus and his disciples, in the sense that his disciples were people whom he selected and he called. He called them in different circumstances. From the very outset, his method seems to have been different. We actually have some instances where people came thinking to be associated with him, but he turned them aside. And it raises a very interesting question, I think, about discipleship. What does it mean to be called by Jesus? Is a calling something that still happens today? What kind of function would calling play in the lives of individuals? And I thought I would invite you to some thought and discussion on the subject. What do we make of this whole business of calling that Christians talk about?
That's an intriguing question for me, because we believe, of course, that God calls everyone, that he wants everyone to be followers. So in what sense would he not have called anyone? And if the call was already existent, then is the reiterating of that to specific individuals an augmentation of what already exists, or were they unaware of a call that was stood there all the time?
You know, my understanding of the word church, ecclesia, has to do with the root word kaleo, or call. So church would be those who are called out of something, probably out of this world's materialistic, self-absorbed system of values, and who respond to that call. But I'm thinking, like Daryl, that call is extended to everyone, to every human being. God calls all of us to leave behind this world and its value system and to come together as a different kind of community.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is that idea of being chosen, and God calls those he knows, and the sort of Calvinistic strains of predestinarianism or predestination kind of creep in here.
And that God has
subject.
And that God has selected people for everybody for some specific task, and if you don't find it, then you have destroyed the will of God for your life. That kind of thought is what you have in mind.
And there is that strand of thinking or understanding call.
See, when I hear you talking about everybody, it seems to me that another way of putting that would be that is what we might call a call to salvation. That it goes out to all human beings, and as you described so nicely, Larry, that God is by that invitation asking people to give up their allegiance to whatever this world is offering and the agenda of a godless society, and to become followers, at least in that initial sense. How do you think people know they're being called by God? Do you have any thoughts on that? How would you know if God was calling you?
My convictions are that basic call is written into our very fabric of personness or beingness, that it's part of how we've been created to be, and it's described by the anthropologist as this innate sense of that drives human beings to seek that which is greater than themselves, to worship. And that's written somehow, that part of the call, it seems to me, is written into the heart or the fabric of every human life or existence.
So doesn't this business of calling go beyond that, though? Because
I think there are
people who say specifically, and I agree with you, I think that that's a wonderful basis, but is that really a sense of calling? It might be the mechanism that from which our sense of calling comes. But I mean, there are some people, I'm sure you've met some, Daryl, who will tell you, God has called me, and in some ways those are very admirable people. In other ways, they're kind of scary.
It is exactly right. And the whole subject gets a bit spooky, actually, doesn't it? Because there's no way to avoid this being a subjective evaluation. You don't have the words or the voice of God. You don't see anything. So how do you know? It's an intuitive sense of God's appeal to you.
Mm-hmm. See, I've often thought of it as the growth of a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
That comes through various circumstances, and I would want certainly to see the Holy Spirit as a primary agent in that. That for example, when an evangelist is preaching and is able to clarify the issues of time and eternity for people, there arises a kind of a disequilibrium in life. People are dissatisfied. They have this inner sense that, something is wrong here that I cannot remedy, but this individual is now calling me. The conviction grows that they are being asked to make a decision that reorients life. And I think both of you, as I have seen people who, when they make that, the disequilibrium of their living subsides. They are overcome with joy and a sense of newness, and now we're going in a new direction. And, I mean, sometimes you can see very significant changes in life as a result of that, of responding to this kind of inner compunction that I ought to do what I'm being asked to do by God.
I am most impressed with those changes which bring a sense of settledness rather than a sense of turmoil and dis-ease.
Or messianic complex, I'm going to turn the world upside down.
Yeah. I just think it brings fulfillment rather than disturbance. To have responded to God's call. And in an earlier conversation, we talked at your questioning about the disciples' quick response. At once they left, or immediately they left what they were doing. That's an indication to me of the clarity with which they saw the future in contrast to the past and knew that's where they needed to be. Mm-hmm. It didn't need to be, in many cases, a long debate for them.
And I've noticed that there seem to be several layers to this thing of calling, because when people make an initial response to God, that seems to be followed very soon by a conviction that they now need to do something that's oriented towards service. I don't know if you've run into that, but in the days when I was in a pastoral setting, this was often the case that somebody would come to faith, they'd have a spiritual renewal, and it wasn't very long before they were knocking at my door wanting to know if I could help them find something to do. And yet that sense of calling is often very indistinct, because it's, what do you say? Well, Daryl, just go take care of the children. I found resolving that sometimes in people's lives to be a real challenge. And then there's another one, that there are some people, and I would put teachers and doctors and ministers and so forth, who seem to end up with a very clear sense of calling to a specific task. You need to do this, and there's a great deal of discontent in their lives until they set about to do that. You run into that ever?
Well, I think what you're doing is illustrating that the whole idea of calling has levels, levels of specificity and levels of maybe concreteness. Because, I mean, I started with talking about this sort of innate thing that's a part of being human, and then we come to this sense of a more specific call to fellowship or to follow God or to be a part of God's family. And then we come to that level in which, like the disciples, we're being asked to do something somewhat more specifically on God's behalf.
Mm. I mean, there are some people who would even extend their sense of calling to their location. They will say that God, I'm convicted that God has brought me to this place at this time for this purpose. And you know, sometimes that's, let me switch this a little bit on you. That what function do you see the sense of calling playing? I mean, is there a function to this? I know, Daryl, we were talking earlier that in some people, you know, if people mistake their sense of calling, that gets to be real scary because then they're claiming divine prerogatives for what might be very unhappy behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But does the sense of calling do anything for Christians?
For them themselves or for mm-hmm. I was thinking more of what it does for the cause of God. I think that is absolutely one powerful way in which the Spirit coordinates all of us who are often disconnected and disjointed from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And your illustration brings back a face to my mind of a computer specialist who moved 1,000 miles away from where he and his family had lived. And when they got there and looked around at this potential place, they knew this is where God wanted them to be.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
See, I go ahead, Larry.
You I was just thinking that I ran into the situation where I had two conferences, both seeking guidance, divine guidance, and both felt very convinced that I was to come and work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they both posed that dilemma for me, both asking me to come to their respective conferences. They both prayed about it.
Yeah.
It was, from their perspective, God's will.
Yeah.
And for me, though, in working that through, both would be God's will. And for me, then, it was a matter of making a choice as to where I would do my service.
Mm-hmm.
And God certainly would honor that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it seems to me that one of the functions of calling also is to provide a great deal of tenacity in people in times of difficulty. I think of, for example, the Apostle Paul. His sense of calling was so clear and so strong that he even endured persecution. And I've often wondered if he would have survived ministry if it had not been for that. So, well, we leave you, our audience, to consider God's call, perhaps even in your own life, and leave you to wrestle with the Spirit as to how you would answer whatever sense of calling you have. I would like to thank my colleagues for being here and being part of this discussion. I would like to thank our engineer, John Campbell, and thanks to you, our audience, for listening. For The Good Word, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.